we talk about movies on Friday, and today we're tackling a movie that has some people outraged.
You are the only one who can control all the elements and bring peace to our world.
I will stop them.
You may already be too late.
That is from The Last Airbender. It hits theaters today. They originally were going to call it Avatar. Obviously had to change the title of it. But many people are very angry about this. In fact, they've been calling for a boycott of this movie since last year. They're angry because of the casting. And we're going to discuss why. With us is Jeff Yang. He's been following this story for the San Francisco Chronicle. And Mike Lay, spokesperson for racebending.com. He's been leading the boycott of the film since 2008, actually. Jeff, let me start with you. And tell us really quickly what this entire controversy is about.
Yeah, thanks, Les. So Airbender is this live-action feature adaptation of this tremendously successful animated series from Nickelodeon. 19 million people saw the series' two-hour finale, which made it the number one telecast of any kind the week it aired. And, you know, just to put that in context, I mean, the finale of Lost only got about 14 million viewers.
So oh, wow.
The success of this led Nickelodeon to refer to Airbender as their Harry Potter, so to speak. And that's a pretty good metaphor, because Harry Potter and Airbender both draw their appeal from these immersive, incredibly well-realized fantasy worlds, except that the Harry Potter universe is shaped by British influences and ideas, and the Airbender world is really largely drawn from Asian influences, from the costumes to the belief systems to the architecture to the names. And, you know, as a result, it was kind of weird that in casting this $150 million live-action adaptation, the film's director, M. Night Shyamalan, who is, of course, himself Indian-American, chose to cast white actors for all the major roles. And he only recast one, the film's antagonist and villain, Zuko, with British Indian Dev Patel of Slumdog Millionaire after the original actor, pop idol Jesse McCartney, dropped out. And so if you can kind of imagine, if you cast Harry Potter with Miley Cyrus and two Jonas Brothers, that's the kind of horror that fans of the original series felt when they saw this announcement.
Or perhaps even more fitting if they had they had cast it with a couple African actors instead. Mike Lay, you started this boycott in 2008. You know, we got a response from one of our listeners, Carrie Perez. She wrote on our Facebook page, "I wonder why this even matters. As long as one can play the part well, it doesn't bother me who's in the role." And that's the argument M. Night Shyamalan is making, that he says he simply cast the people who are best in the roles. Do you buy that?
No, I don't. And I think it's a little disingenuous to say that even in 2010, as far as we've come with a biracial African-American president, with a Muslim-American Miss USA, to think that we're post-racial is it's a little bit naive. When you look at, for example, or even to say, oh, well, it's all about talent. Well, I doubt that anytime soon we'll be seeing an actress portray Superman on screen. So clearly there's a limit to what audiences will accept, to our suspension of disbelief. And especially when roles have been so rigged against Asian American actors to the point where we can't even represent ourselves, such as in 21, as in Dragon Ball, as in all these dozens and dozens of other examples from the last 100 years of Hollywood discrimination, I think it's really disingenuous to say, well, it's all about talent, and that there's no bias against Asian American actors, against minority actors.
Although this movie itself is helping with your boycott. I mean, it's got the worst notices I think I've seen in decades.
Absolutely, and I don't think those things are disconnected. People seem to think that the race issue is completely separate from the fidelity of the film to the source material, which, as Jeff Yang said, was incredibly successful. So if you imagine a director walking in to Harry Potter or to Lord of the Rings and saying, well, I'm a huge fan of the series, but I always envisioned Harry as black, or I always envisioned Frodo as being Latino. So I'm going to recast and make all the Hobbits Latino, and I can just imagine the fan uproar from this, and it would be incredibly obvious that the director had no respect for the source material or the fans, and the film would flop. And
I think Romeo and Juliet was recast with Latinos in West Side Story.
That's true, and I think that those are kinds of things are exceptions that prove the rule, where you look at it and you say, oh, well, everything's okay. But when you look at overall statistics, such as Paramount statistics, where 83% of their planned films feature a white male lead, 94% feature a male lead, despite the fact that 55% of American ticket buyers are women. So yeah. I think it shows how far behind the film industry is in catching up to 2010 demographics.
Okay, but Jeff, how do we know for sure that these main characters in Airbender were supposed to be Asian?
You know, it's a good point because obviously this is a fantasy world, right?
Right. It's a world that doesn't exist. It's not a country that exists.
At the same time, I mean, when you actually look at the original source material and even talk to the creators of the original animated series, and it was created by two white Americans, you know, Brian Konietzko and Mike DiMartino.
The people who voiced the characters on the Nickelodeon series are white.
Yeah, well, no, they've actually publicly said that they intended for the series to be kind of this celebration of an Asia that never was. So you have to kind of think that they at least thought of these characters as being Asian. I mean, they've said as much, essentially. And I do think that there is a sense in which the original program would not have been as successful as it was in this generation, in this era, if it had not drawn from such an Asian-centered point of view. And I think that's, you know, I totally agree with Mike there. We are growing for the generation that's, you know, all about Pokemon, right, and Nintendo and manga, and they're very, you know, comfortable with Asian ideas and Asian faces and Asian people.
Okay, but Mike, let me just ask you. This is a movie, as John mentioned, that's gotten really abysmal reviews. I would imagine that a lot of people who are boycotting the film with your boycott wouldn't see the film anyway. Is this the most effective way to protest this kind of casting?
I think the number one, you want to boycott. Number two, you want to raise awareness. You want to go out and talk. That's why we've been speaking at public campuses at MIT, UCLA, USC. That's why we've been posting our information on the internet so people hear about this issue. And despite the fact that the film's tanking, it's still a big news item, obviously. And so when people hear about the casting controversy, they might read a review, they might offhandly mention the racism, and they'll go out and they'll learn more about it. And we have the information out there so people understand. It's not an isolated issue. It's not something that's reverse racism, quote unquote, and there are legitimate concerns here.
Right. Okay. That is Mike Lay, Los Angeles organizer for racebending.com, that's organizing this boycott of The Last Airbender, and Jeff Yang, columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. We're interested in what you think about this. Give us a call at 877-8MYTAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org.
So movie trivia takes this issue. Actor Mickey Rooney irritated Asians with his role as Audrey Hepburn's very stereotypical Japanese neighbor in Breakfast at Tiffany's. You can probably think of some other examples. But can you name the movie in which Marlon Brando spent 2 hours a day applying makeup to look Japanese? Here's a hint.
Please to introduce myself. Sakini by name, interpreter by profession, education by the ancient dictionary, Okinawan by whim of God.
Jeff Yang, you got an answer? You know what that movie is?
Oh. you know, I can't draw it from the top of my mind. I think it might be, is it Sayonara?
You probably blocked it out of your mind. It's Marlon Brando in The Tea House of the August Moon. Thanks, Jeff.
I imagine a lot of people have blocked that movie out of their mind. Give us your take on this whole issue. I imagine everybody has some thoughts. 877-8-MY-TAKE or leave a comment at our website, thetakeaway.org. I am Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.